The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this resurrection morn. There's the story, and then there's the meaning that we place on the story. Take a step away from the Gospels for 1 second onto something less immediately fraught. We do this all the time. We can tell a story about Dad taking us to the ball game. The first time you tell it, it's probably a bit of bragging to your buddies. "Yeah, Dad took me to our favorite team." The emphasis is on, "I saw the game." But if you're telling that story in your 20s, it's probably a bit of early nostalgia at how simple things were when you were a kid. And when you tell it to your kids, probably when you're going to the game with them, it's a story about the connection from one generation to the next. Cue up, America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. The story is a father and a son and a game. There are multiple meanings, and none of them erase any of the others. They layer. As an old hymn would say, swiftly down time's deepening stream. I start with that for 2 reasons. For many of us here today, in relation to this story that we just read, the Jesus story, we are very deep down that stream. I could throw out words like triduum and then not explain them. That's the 3-day service, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and this morning. The hymns and songs from the spooky Christ is Arisen, which comes out of the deep Middle Ages, maybe even the first millennium, to This is the Feast, a work commissioned within our lifetimes. We easily could have added hymns that pushed that back to the 4th century. These are all part of our formation. But there are also those here today, and maybe more importantly, those not here today, who are hearing the story, if not with absolutely fresh ears, with ears just hearing the story and maybe starting to attach meaning to it at the start of the stream. And that's both frightening and the amazing hope of our time. There's always the sense that every new generation hears the story for the first time. But I don't think I'm wrong in saying that this one is somewhat unique. We have an opportunity to hear the story back to that bit of bragging about the event itself. The old joke is that there are only 2 constants, death and taxes. But even taxes can be cheated. Death. Death doesn't seem to lose, except in this story. And it's a story that comes originally from a couple of women. We collectively left the two Marys on Good Friday staring at the tomb, numb, cold, just staring opposite the tomb. A week ago, Lazarus was being raised and Jesus was entering Jerusalem as the king, and yet somehow we are back at a tomb. How did it come to this? And maybe their minds started to return to the things we all do in such times. It was the Sabbath, and there would be rituals to perform. You start putting one foot in front of the other in familiar paths. And that grieving, that meaning-making is put on hold for a day. And I suppose I should explain one thing here. We measure time. These two Marys and their world would have counted time. Jesus dies on Friday before sunset, day one. Sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, day two. And now they are back at dawn on Sunday, day three. We'd measure a long day, Friday evening to early Sunday morning. But they count. And they are heading back to the tomb after that rote Sabbath to pick up their grief. But that isn't what they get. What they get is an earthquake and an angel rolling back the stone and the guards that had been posted to prevent exactly that. Petrified like the man who was supposed to be inside. The angel ignores those guards, not even a head nod towards them. He talks to the Marys. Don't be afraid. Sure, whatever you say, majestic being whose appearance is like lightning and clothing white as snow, don't be afraid. I know why you are here. You are looking for Jesus, the crucified one. He's not here. He's risen, as he said. I see you don't believe me. Or maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. I get it. This is new. Nobody cheats death. Come, see the place where he lay. I don't know about you. But when I'm reading a story, I occasionally break or have an internal monologue about it. What are we to take about this? We know that the tomb was sealed. We know that the guards were posted. We saw, unbelievable, I know, but we saw this majestic being roll away the stone. And we know the body is not there. How did it get out? Can this risen one walk through things like stone and standing guards, maybe doors? Well, we know that Jesus seemed to have a way in life of walking through crowds that wanted to throw him off cliffs. Okay, we're back. The tomb is empty, right? Got it? Now, I've got a job for you two. Go tell his disciples that he's risen. Go tell them to go to Galilee. They will see him there. See, I've told you. You go tell them. What does it even mean he's risen? It isn't exactly like Lazarus. When Jesus raised Lazarus, he had to tell us to go roll away the stone. But this tomb was already empty. The lightning one rolled it away so we could see that it was empty. But what does it mean? Nobody's ever going to believe this. And what was that bit he said at the end? But somehow the Mary's head on back, with a mixture of fear and joy. Maybe part of the fear is forgetting that second part of the message. Because while they're running back, the formerly dead man greets them. Greetings. And I swear, don't make fun of me for this, but this is the second bit of proof in Matthew. This is what it means. They took hold of his feet. Because ghosts don't have feet. That's what it means. The tomb is empty. And Jesus has feet. And what is the purpose of this appearance? Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. I know you didn't quite get that. Understandable. Not every day somebody beats death. See, I'm always looking out for you. Now, go tell them. The tomb is empty. I have feet. I'll see them in Galilee. You can't make up that story. I'm sorry. I know that every cynic and critical scholar and the entire horde of faithless preachers want to explain that story away. It's written long after the fact. It's just a spiritual story. Hogwash. The Gospels don't read like the work of a master of fine arts polishing the great Judean novel. That is a personal memory. That's someone bragging a bit. Let me tell you what I got to see, friends. The angel and the terrified guards he just ignores. The empty tomb and the feet. And oh man, we almost blew it that day. We forgot where they were supposed to go. But Jesus shows up and reminds us. Someone beat death. And that someone looks out for us. Wants to see us. Would you like to see him? We can tell you where you need to go. Amen.